Honey, I'm home. Oh man, what am I gonna do? Lock the door. I gotta lock the door. Can't have anybody coming in today. Not today. What am I gonna do? What am I gonna tell her? I can't. The curtains. Can't have anybody. Someone might have followed me. I can't have anybody looking in the curtains today. Oh man. No, good. What am I going to do? I just don't know. What am I going to tell her? She's going to ask. And do I hide it from her? Dare I hide this from anybody? What am I going to tell her? What am I going to tell her? I got to tell somebody.
Marcus, you're home.
Oh.
Where have you been?
I
explain. I talked with Diana, and her husband was home yesterday, like he was supposed to be.
Well, I know, but...
And where's your helmet and the rest of your armor?
What? I must have lost it. I dropped it.
I haven't been able to sleep. You're a day late.
I know. I can
kids,
explain.
They've been asking, where's Daddy?
Yeah, I know.
What was I supposed to think?
Well, if you just
did
give me a
second.
Did
you even stop to think about me? No. Did you even send a message? No.
No.
And with all these weird things going on, earthquakes?
I know.
Where have you been? What were you thinking? Why? Why no message?
Fine. Yeah, I thought that might silence you.
Where did all this come from? Marcus, this is more money than you would make in 3 years of service.
Yeah.
Look at all this money. We're rich. Oh, you wonderful man. Oh, I don't know how you did it. But you can quit that horrible soldier job and we can move out of this filthy Jerusalem. We can move back to Rome. And be with our family. Oh, we're rich.
Honey, I can't keep it. I'm going to give it back.
What? Have you lost your mind? Where did it come from? Why are you giving it back? Are you insane?
Would you just stop for just a second? I have to. I have to tell somebody. My dear, please, just sit down for a moment. I'll explain everything. I'll tell you what's going on. I have to. It all began when I started my shift 2 days ago. It's been crazy this whole week. What with their big festival going on? There were Jews coming from everywhere. The city is just teeming with people, all coming for their Passover. I don't think they imagined what was going to happen. I arrived at Pilate's for my shift Friday morning, and the place was just buzzing like a beehive. The Jewish priests were there, and they brought some prisoner to the governor. I don't know what this fella had done, but they sure were mad. They were yelling and carrying on. They wanted him dead. The priests and the elders and all the people, they were crying out to kill him.
Who was it that the priests wanted someone to be killed during their precious Passover? He must have been some horrible criminal.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But that's what was so weird. I looked at the guy. He didn't look like much at first. But I could tell he'd been roughed up quite a bit. So I asked who he was. And they said he was Jesus.
Jesus? The man we've been hearing all the rumors about?
Yeah, the guy that all the people were supposed to have loved. The guy who was supposed to have been healing the sick. The guy who was supposed to have been doing these wonderful miracles. The guy that the Jews were calling their Christ. I heard there was some big to-do when he entered the city earlier this week. Everyone was so excited when he came in. Well, they sure were excited Friday morning. Only now, they were calling for him to be crucified.
What? Why would they do that? Why would they have him killed?
None of it made sense. It didn't make any sense at all. Pilate was actually trying to find a way to let him go.
Pilate? When has he ever cared about anyone? Particularly a Jew.
I know. Like I said, it was so weird, but Pilate was just unnerved. This Jesus guy really freaked him out. He was trying to let him go. There's some custom where he releases a prisoner to the people. But the more he pushed to let this Jesus of Nazareth go, the more violent the crowd got. Pilate even scourged the guy to try to appease the people.
I don't even like to think about that.
I know, I'm sorry. But it's just so strange. I've seen plenty of criminals scourged. You never get used to it, though. But he was different. He didn't plea for his life. Most people scream and they carry on before the first lash falls. But he was quiet. Man, they tore into him, though. It was like watching butchers with a hunk of meat just time and again.
That's enough.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just saying, I'm surprised he survived it at all. When it was done, we took him to the Praetorium. And the guys had some fun with him. Well, don't look at me like that. I mean, he's a Jew, after all, and a criminal. Or so I thought. Everyone had been calling him King of the Jews all week long. So we had some fun. One guy got a thing of thorns and put it into a crown and jammed it down on his head. And then we were pretending, you know, to bow in front of him, only to smack him in the face. When we were done, he was just a mess. One guy found a club and took it and would smack him on the head, smashing that crown down into his flesh. And he never said anything, though. Nothing. Then we had to take this guy and two others out to crucify them.
Two others?
Yeah, two guys that were caught in that insurrection. They were following this guy named Barabbas. The weird thing is, the priests and the people, they asked Pilate to release Barabbas instead of this Jesus.
What? You've got to be kidding.
I know. They asked for a murderer. This guy, Jesus, he took Barabbas' spot. Well, now we had to walk all of them all the way to the place of the skull to crucify him. Talk about a nightmare. All of the mob around us yelling and screaming, throwing things at him, spitting on him. One guy even missed and hit me. That guy's going to be walking with a limp for a long time. We took the crossbar and tied it to Jesus.
To a guy who's been scourged? Are you serious?
Well, what else were we going to do? I wasn't going to carry the cross for him. None of the people were apt to. They weren't going to pick up the cross for this man. I'll give him credit, though. He tried. Carried it for a while, but he just kept crashing to the ground. The weight of it just pinning him down. By the third time, he was just a mass of blood and sweat. His muscles were just quivering. I remember I looked back down the road, and you could see a trail of blood all over it. I knew this guy couldn't go any further. So we grabbed this fella named Simon. We made him carry the cross. He didn't want to, but our swords changed his mind.
I don't understand why all of this kept you from getting home until now.
Well, just hold on. We got up to the hill, and I helped put him on the cross.
What's wrong? I know you don't like crucifixions. Who would? I know you'd prefer to be fighting on the field, but you've done these all the time, and I've never seen you so upset.
That's what was so strange. It was unlike any before. I expected him to plead for his life. All of them do at this point. They beg. They call upon their gods for deliverance. They bargain. But he didn't say anything. We offered him wine mixed with gall, like we always do, in order to help with the pain. He refused it. He wouldn't take it. I urged him to take it, but he wouldn't.
Why wouldn't somebody take something to numb the pain of a crucifixion?
I have no idea. We pounded nails into his hands. And I'll never forget what he said.
What?
He said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And he looked at me. And he said those words. And I was the one pounding the nails into his hands. I saw his eyes and my blood ran cold. And it made no sense. I can still see his eyes. I can still see him. Well, after we got all three of them up, oh man, the people had their fun with them. I mean, it's one thing to see the mob, to see the commoners, the riffraff yelling at the dying. But the Pharisees and the Jews, the Jewish rulers, they were insufferable to this guy. They spat on him while he hung there, mocked him, saying, "Save yourself, come down from the cross, and we'll believe in you." Now, we soldiers were no better, calling him King of the Jews, bowing before him. The guys even got some cheap wine and pretended to offer it to him.
That's awful.
Yeah. The guy's mom was there too. She watched it all till they finally took her away. It was about noon. It was about noon when it happened. Darkness fell all around us, which made no sense. It was noon and it was dark. And you could feel the darkness. Man, that sure changed things, though. Everybody sure shut up at that point. The mocking, the joking, all of that was over. 3 hours. 3 hours we waited in that darkness. Do you remember that weird lightning storm that happened on Friday? I mean, it seemed like the gods, like Zeus himself, was throwing lightning all around. It was hard to breathe. Like everyone, everything was waiting. Waiting for something. 3 hours. And then Jesus, he cried out. Called out to his God. Asking why God had forsaken him. And I got a lump in my throat. And I thought, why? Why should I care about this guy? But something was different about him. His cry just tore at me. People started to murmur, wondering if someone would save him. Some Elijah guy. I didn't understand. So we waited. But no answer came from the heavens. There was no God who was going to intervene with this. Then he said quietly, "I'm thirsty." I couldn't take it anymore. I got some sour wine and put it on a branch and I gave it to him. And then we waited. For what? I don't know. But then a light shone down, knifing through the darkness, bathing the cross in the glow. And he cried out again. I'm not even sure how he did it, because when you're on the cross, you're suffocating. You can't breathe. But he cried out. And he said, "It is finished." His cry was like a cry of heartbreak, but something else. I didn't know what then. And then silence. Terrible silence. No one said nothing. No one moved. Everyone stared at this man. I found myself holding my breath. I was almost paralyzed. But then everything moved. everything. That earthquake hit. I thought it was the end. It was like the very earth was going to tear itself apart. And people were falling all over into piles in each other. All of us, soldiers, priests, commoners, all in masses of humanity. All of us thinking that we were going to die. And just as soon as it started, it stopped. I scrambled up into my feet, sweat rolling off of me. And finally, somebody spoke. I heard a voice say, "Truly, this was the Son of God." My first thought was, "No, no, 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 what have we done?" But then I looked and I saw who spoke. It's Demetrius.
Demetrius? The centurion said that?
I was floored. I couldn't believe that he said that. But no one argued with him. No one. Well, the day was finally ending, and the priests wanted the bodies off of the cross before the Sabbath started. I mean, there's really no pleasing certain people. Put them on the cross. Take them off the cross. But I don't think Pilate wanted them on the cross either, because we were ordered to break their legs. But we got to Jesus, and this guy, he was already dead.
Dead? After so few hours?
Yeah, we were a little surprised too. But after all he had endured, we were sure he was dead. But the priests, they had to be certain. So they made one of us grab a spear. We plunged it into his side. And we were right. He was dead, all right. But it was so weird. Blood and water poured out from him. There were some women who arrived and a couple well-to-do looking Jews. They took Jesus' body to bury it. So we left. Man, I was so glad to get off that hill. I wanted to erase all of that experience from my memory. But I kept thinking about all that I'd seen and heard. Well, we got back to the barracks, and I was almost ready to come home when I got another assignment. The priests wanted us to guard Jesus's tomb.
What? Guard a tomb?
Yeah, how ridiculous is that? I guess they didn't want anything to happen to the body. So instead of coming home like I was supposed to, I had to go take another shift. I had to stay and sleep for a shift, and then at midnight, I got up with the rest of us. And we had to go and guard a tomb all night long. I didn't mind, though. For some strange reason, I really wanted to go to that tomb. I got there, and we'd set a stone in front of it. There was a Roman seal that had secured it, and an entire guard set up for the night. 100 of us guarding a dead man's tomb. A dead body. It was just crazy. Who does this? Man, what a strange night. I was cool, and yet no breeze blew. And in spite of the coolness, I found myself sweating. It was hard to breathe. None of us joked around. Few even talked. It was like, you're going to think I'm crazy, but it was like we weren't alone. And the silence was deafening. It was so dark out there. Everything was unnatural, and yet I couldn't explain why. And the hours just dragged on and on. It felt like the very night was refusing to become morning, like the dark would somehow keep the light away. But then everything turned upside down again. A brilliant light flashed all around us. We were blinded by the sudden light. I blinked, wiped away the tears, to discover that the light moved. It was some being, a mighty winged being, and it was tall, it was awesome, and it looked at us, and we became like dead men. No one could move.
No one could talk. A whole Roman guard, useless. 100 of the best Roman soldiers quivering in fear before one being. He went over to the tomb. He grabbed that stone, that boulder, and he flipped it away like it was a pebble. And I covered my ears as he cried out. He said, "Son of God, come forth. Thy Father calls thee." And then a light shone out of the tomb, and it was so bright, it made the other being with wings look like a shadow. And then he came out. He walked out of the tomb.
What? Who?
Jesus. The guy we crucified. He walked out of the tomb. It was him. The same one that we mocked. The one that we'd beaten. The one that we'd spit upon. He walked out of the tomb. The one that the priests had cursed. The one that we'd put a crown of thorns on his head. He walked out of the tomb. The one that I nailed to the cross. The one that we had killed. He walked out of the tomb. He's alive. I heard him speak. And I'll never forget his voice. Never. It was the most awesome, the most beautiful thing I have ever or will ever hear. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And his voice, it sounded like a clear clarion trumpet call. I stared at him. I couldn't look away. I thought we were dead right there. He was surely going to wipe all of us out of existence. But he didn't. He looked at us, not with malice, not with anger, hate, not with revenge. He looked at me, and I saw his eyes. He looked, I don't know, it was like he looked into me. And I could have sworn that he smiled. Then he was gone. And the other beings were gone too. And I thought I'd gone blind from the sudden darkness, the absence of light. Then suddenly we could move again. So we got up, we scrambled up to our feet, and we just ran. And we fell, and we ran. We ran back to town. I have never run so fast in my life. People in town were scared to death. They saw 100 Roman soldiers running like there was an army pursuing us. I looked at the other guys. Their faces were colorless. We all trembled as we spoke, and we told everybody we ran into. But before we got back to the praetorium, before we went to Pilate, a guard from the high priest came to us. We told him what happened, and he told us to come to see the priest. So some of us went to the priest, but not all of us. We went into the high priest and the leaders. And we told them everything. Oh, man, you should have seen their faces. They turned as pale as as we were. One guy even barfed up on his robes a little bit. It was quite a sight. This Caiaphas, this high priest, he stood there like a landed fish, his mouth moving. But no sound came out. Finally, we turned to leave. And as we did, to go tell the report to Pilate, as we turned, the priest finally found his voice. And he told us. He told us to tell no one. He told us to say that Jesus' followers, his disciples, came and took the body away.
What? But Marcus, if you told that to Pilate, he would have you killed. That doesn't even make sense. How could a few Jews sneak past a whole Roman guard? You guys didn't listen, did you? What? Why would you lie for those priests? How could you after what you saw? I see.
Yes.
What are you going to do now?
I don't know. That's why I can't keep the money. I took it by impulse, but on my way here, I remembered what happened. I remembered his voice. I remembered how he treated us as we killed him, as we beat him. I remembered how he looked at me. I put the nails in his hands. I remember how he looked when he came out of the tomb. I remember him looking at me. I can't keep it. I'm going to give it back.
Are you sure? What will this mean? This will change everything.
But don't you see? Everything has changed. Nothing's the same now. I have to. This means nothing now. I have to give it back. Everything has changed. Nothing's the same. I have to find more. I have to find out more about this Jesus. I have to give the money back. I have to tell others what I've seen. I have to tell others what happened. The money, it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter. I don't know what's going to happen, but I've seen his face. And I know that's going to be all right. I don't know what it all means, my dear, but I've seen his eyes. And I've seen him walk out of the tomb. I don't understand it all, but I know. I got to tell somebody. I'll return. I just have to. Others need to know. It can't end with me. I have to. I've got to tell somebody. I'm going to tell somebody. I'm going to tell somebody. I'm going to tell everybody.
And we thank you for your passion and your shed blood. And we thank you for a salvation full and complete. And we pray this weekend, as we reflect on this wonderful story and this wonderful good news, for grace so undeserving, that we might have the courage to tell as well. So bless us to this end, we pray. And our community of faith here, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.